Good morning, everybody. Once again, we are at 11 o'clock in the morning on this first day of the month of November of our calendar year 2022. And Tuesdays at 11 o'clock equates to Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management joining us along with Stamati Sastra to give us a little bit of a market update. Good morning, Manny. I'm
Calimera,
here with
Manoli.
Professor Petro and Calimera, Mr. Pedrikakis, gentlemen. Calimera, sas.
Calimera.
Καλημέρα, καλημέρα.
Μανώλη μου, θα τους τα πάρουμε σήμερα, για πες μας.
We'll see. I mean, everything's going to come down to the Fed. You know, we are going to have a two-day meeting, and it's going to be all about the path that they lay forward. You know, from Wednesday when they make, when Chairman Powell does his press conference.
Okay, so it looks like the numbers on the job market today were still hot. A lot of activity, and it doesn't look like the cooling off is cooling off.
No, it's not, and that's one of the things that, you know, has led to potentially some more hawkish rhetoric coming out of the Fed is that, you know, the Dow is up 12% in 3 weeks. You know, that's not something the Fed drastically wants to see right now, and they want to see unemployment rising, not job creation. So probably why the market has turned down from this morning's highs. You're down about 1% from where you were about 5:30 this morning. So, but again, everything's going to be about what they say. Everything else from a data standpoint that we've received over the last couple of weeks has been pretty good. It's just in which direction do they want to move in? We talked about the Fed blinking and pivoting a few weeks ago. That is what the market has been pricing in for the last month is, hey, do we get 75 in November? Do we get 50 basis points in December? We know we don't have a Fed meeting in 2023 until February. Does that mean they're on pause until March? Or do they kind of sit back in 2023 and let these rate hikes play out before making any other decisions as it relates to monetary policy?
That makes sense. It looks like Europe is very high on inflation. This whole thing about the wheat and the problems with Ukraine, it doesn't look... things are going to change drastically.
No, and that was another wrench that was thrown into the engine over the weekend and released on Monday, was them backing out of that grain deal. Now, the one good thing is that I will also point out that natural gas is down 9% this morning. I think that if you're in Europe, you want to see energy prices declining more so than worrying about exports to emerging markets. So that is beneficial to them. And one of the things that we're looking at right now is that it's potentially going to not be that cold of a winter as we're looking at another La Nina season here in North America as well as in Europe. So that could benefit Europe and potentially not have them draw down their natural gas as much as was expected, which will allow supply to catch back up at some point in time and hopefully remove more of the inflation problem as we move forward towards 2023 and 2024.
Interesting. And I will go to some specific companies. We saw two big names, Uber. I think the stock pre-market at least was up. I don't know what it's doing right now.
And it was up 9% the last time I saw.
Yeah. Again, Uber, one of those companies that the revenue is growing. Not making too much money profit-wise.
No, exactly. And that's, you know, one of their biggest parts on the earnings was that, you know, drivers are coming back and so is demand. Well, as you move out of a COVID world and potentially as economies reopen, you would expect that demand for ride sharing is going to increase. And that's what their earnings were all about. They were also able to, you know, similar to Coca-Cola and what we've heard through other companies during this earnings season, is that companies are passing the cost on to the consumer, which is allowing their margins to stay intact. And that's the question that, you know, yes, earnings season has been good so far. To date, you actually have 70% of the S&P reporting this week. So it'll be interesting to see how those numbers look. But one of the key takeaways is that, you know, margin compression hasn't occurred yet due to passing on the cost to consumers. What does that look like in 2023? So yes, we've had a decent 2022, better than most people expected, especially, you know, going back to the June lows. The question is now is, can that margin, you know, that fear of margin compression, can that continue to be pushed away as we kind of navigate and try to regrow into the economy?
And the other company was Pfizer. She did. The company did raise the earnings guidance. They did beat third quarter expectations.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you kind of had to see that coming from all the pharma companies that did well during the COVID environment. So that's not a surprise.
Can I throw a name out there? Elon Musk. I mean, after last week, you know what?
I had everybody.
What's your take on that, Manny? What's going on the last week?
I don't have a real take on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
My take on Twitter was what we said a couple months ago, that I thought that the court system was going to force him to buy the stock, and that deal was going to go through so that anyone that wanted to get involved could pick up a 15% appreciation, which has occurred now from just the fact that he was going to be held to buying the company at the proposed price that he put out there.
Yeah.
Going forward, I don't have a real inclination on whether Twitter is a moneymaker or not. It's going to really come down to ad spending. It's going to really come down to them creating a better product and getting a lot of those fake robots and, bot accounts and troll accounts off of the platform. Obviously, it's moving towards a generation of free speech again, which is a good thing. I think that's what he wanted to do, was go in there and say, hey, we're going to call it free speech. You can't limit people to what they can and cannot say based off political beliefs. So I think that is a good thing. We'll see what happens. But from a profit standpoint, I have no direction on that company. If I bought it, which I did not, and I held on to it with the belief that it was going to be bought, which it did, I'd probably be looking to take chips off the table at the moment, because I do think that, you know, again, high cap, high tech growth companies, I think, will suffer for the next 1 to 2 years as we continue to fight inflation.
And again, he's going to take the company private, so not too much you can do there. They make about $1 billion a year, and he paid, $54 billion? 44 times of earnings, which is unheard of. And the other question is, how all this leverage that he got, because he did leverage the Tesla stock. He is the richest man in the world, but it's...
$245 billion, yeah.
But his assets are tied to Tesla stock and another company, SpaceX, that is not public. So the question is how that leverage is going to affect the Tesla stock. So it will be interesting.
Yeah, and that in terms of, you know, Tesla stock got hit last week because they had to, you know, lower prices to stimulate demand again in China, one of their largest markets. So it's not like his company is doing all that well anyways. And what we're seeing is that he's actually losing market share to increase competition, whether it's from Volkswagen, Porsche, or from Ford or GM.
No, yeah. All of them, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, you name it, they've all got the electric.
That's what I mean when I threw the name out there. It's a matter of fact, like, it just seemed like, you know, once the move with Twitter was finalized, you know, there was more of a magnifying glass on all the other things that he's doing, including Tesla. And it's sort of like, you know, people who are not necessarily that aware of what he's doing. I mean, I think there's like a completely different view now on all of his holdings and, you know, what kind of an entity he is in the market and in politics as well.
That's what confuses me, gentlemen, is Costa made the point, you know, the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, of which the majority of his holdings are tied up into companies that lose money. I don't get that.
Like the
Tesla is not losing money. Tesla is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is making money. Twitter is profitable.
But at a $44 billion price tag.
Stamati. Bloomberg, they appraised at $12 billion, and he paid $44 billion. I mean, let's face it.
They're profitable. Don't confuse profits with evaluation. They're profitable. Tesla is profitable as well. SpaceX, it's a private company.
Undetermined.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like, I mean, they have all the NASA contracts. It's probably profitable.
Yeah.
It's probably profitable, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Will remain to see what happens.
Εντάξει, άμα έχει κανένα πρόβλημα να το δανείσουμε, δεν τρέχει τίποτα.
Μπράβο, Κώστα. Μπράβο, Κώστα. Closing comments, gentlemen. Manny, Stamati, Petro, Costa, anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this rally continues. I think you probably get through 2 weeks of volatility between now, you know, from the Fed meeting to the middle of the month. But the other thing we're looking at is right now, you're looking like, and Petro is probably the great person to point this to, is that I think the Republicans take the Senate now, and they take the House.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with gridlock, which the market's going to celebrate.
Yeah, with that being said, are we going to, next Wednesday, if the Republicans do take over, are we going to see a big spike in the market that one day? Kind of a, just a momentum swing?
I don't know
swinger?
If you'll see a big spike, but it will definitely be a welcomed factor for the market, because the market likes gridlock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The market likes when you have a different administration compared to the House and Senate, because that means very little bills get passed, and the government doesn't spend unnecessary money, allowing the deficit to at least not increase, if not come down.
Yeah.
So that's the point that the market will like. And what I think the market has been pointing to over the last 2 weeks is also, hey, we're looking at a Republican landslide. We're looking at gridlock. That means this administration cannot pass, you know, the bills that they would like to in the last 2 years of the current administration.
Yeah. I'm going to just close with one note. I was listening on my way into WNTN, and they were talking about the automobile makers and that, of course, inventory is starting to become more readable, and that the cost of an automobile has declined by $1,000, I think is the number I heard this morning, on average from last year to this time. You've been kind of saying that the car markets are going to do, you know, they're going to hang in there all along, Manny. Same sentiments? What do you see from the GMs and the Mercedes and the BMWs and the Fords of the world?
I think that inventory is actually going to increase and the price of automobiles will continue to decline, especially in the used car market, because supply is catching up. And with the change in interest rate, we've seen a lot of people buy cars in 2020 and in 2021 when they were getting, you know, whether it was, you know, government support, et cetera, during COVID. Mm-hmm. They spent a lot of that money on going to get a lease or getting a car. And now those leases have, you know, potentially increase quite a bit in cost, and you actually are starting to see a lot of people return those vehicles.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see the effect of interest rates in the in the auto market, similar to what you're seeing take place in the housing market.
Yeah. Well said. Well done, Manny Frangidakis, Stamati Sastra. Manny, thank you very much. 12 Points Wealth Management, each and every Tuesday right here on Grecian Echoes, to give us his perspective on what the market did in the past week. Manny, have a great, great day. Stamati, have a great day, and we'll regroup again next week. Calomina, gentlemen.
Calomina,
boys. Bye-bye.